Welcome to Talking Trash, our waste reduction podcast, brought to you by the City of Spokane Solid Waste Department. Hello, everyone out there. I'm Gina Clays, your podcast host. I am the Recycling Outreach Assistant for the City of Spokane. And our first episode is about zero waste living and how you can get started with it. So zero waste living has gained popularity in recent years with striking photos on social media. People will share a photo of a little jar that contains all the waste that they generated for the past year. And it made me wonder, what does going zero waste look like in real life? To find out, I decided to interview someone who's actually doing it. So here with me today, I have Anna Belinsky, Project Coordinator for Resource Synergy, which is a waste reduction consulting firm here in Spokane. And Anna recently graduated from Gonzaga University, where she spearheaded campus zero waste programs like Rethink Waste, Mend It Monday, which is a pop-up clothing mending shop. And she ran the Instagram account Zero Waste Zag. She also interned for the City of Aspen, Colorado as a waste reduction specialist. Thank you for joining me here today, Anna.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm excited to have you. And so Anna and I got to meet through a recycling cart tagging project that the City of Spokane was helping to manage this summer. And through my conversations with her, I realized that she's done some pretty amazing waste reduction work. So let's find out about your path towards zero waste living. So what made you decide to go zero waste, and how long have you been doing it?
All right. So what made me decide to do it? My senior year of high school, I just watched a news piece on this woman named Lauren Singer, who was living a zero waste lifestyle in New York City. And that was the first that I had heard of it. And I found it just to be so inspiring and an amazing way to challenge yourself as an individual, to live within, you know, in line with your values. And so, at the time I was living with my parents, still in high school, and there's not a lot of control you have over your life when you're in that situation. And so I knew I couldn't go 100% zero waste then. But at that point I kind of made this goal of when I go to college to try it, because then I would have a lot more autonomy and control over my own life and independence. And so I started at the beginning of my freshman year, September of my freshman year, and I was zero waste all 4 years. And basically up until COVID, and then I have not been able to be, zero waste as COVID has happened, but I anticipate going back to that lifestyle as soon as I can.
Yeah. And so you mentioned to me previously that you took a college course that that kind of guided you towards starting with zero waste living. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So it was a great opportunity that class sort of facilitated for me. In our Environmental Studies 101 course at Gonzaga, our professor has all of the students do a daily practice assignment. And the point of that assignment is at the beginning of the semester, the students decide on one action that will turn into a daily habit of theirs that will help them live more sustainably. And you do that thing for the entirety of the semester, and then you kind of track it and reflect on it and so on. So I decided that was an awesome opportunity to provide some structure to going zero waste and to have something that externally could hold me a little bit more accountable and report to and have those sort of, deadlines and markers. So, so I used that class assignment, and my daily practice was to go zero waste. And finished up that semester, and everyone was always asking, are you going to keep going with it now that the semester is over? And I was like, oh, goodness, yes. Like, you can, once you are exposed to the issues of the waste crisis and you start to realize how easy it is once you make those new habits of living zero waste. You can't, it's really hard to stop and unsee it.
Yeah. It sounds like it really raised your consciousness level. And then it was just hard for you to go back to how you lived before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. And did you go cold turkey or did you kind of ease into it more gradually?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think every person is different. I kind of both, I guess. I originally would have answered this question as, oh, I totally just went cold turkey freshman year. But then the more I've thought about it, I realized that there were definitely things that I was doing in my life prior, like in high school and for a couple of years prior, like not buying plastic water bottles and having reusable plastic bags and little things like that, that got me a little bit more comfortable with some of the big hitters, you know, never bringing or always bringing my own bag to the grocery store. Those sort of things that made the transition, I think, a little bit easier than maybe some people who would be going totally, who had never been in the habit of avoiding single use and disposable products.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Kind of a mix.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like the college environment provided some structure for you, which was a bit helpful. But it sounds like there's other ways that you can take advantage of existing structure in your life, even if you're not in school.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, one of the things about zero waste is just being prepared. The way that our culture is set up and our systems work is not conducive to a zero waste lifestyle. It is very conducive to a single use plastics disposable lifestyle. And so because of that, you do have to get used to having a lot of forethought and just being very prepared, either just knowing what your day looks like and getting used to those habits of what to expect where, so that you can strategically know what you need to bring to eliminate waste throughout your days. And for most of us with regular work schedules or school schedules, that becomes fairly easy. It did become fairly easy for me to know what to expect so I could get through a day pretty seamlessly. But at the same time, there are definitely those days that you're not in your habits or in your routine. You have to be a little bit more on your toes and have a lot more foresight, or just being extra prepared and like always leaving the house with a couple staple items. Those, for me, those would be, I always try and leave the house with a napkin, like a fabric cloth napkin, and some utensil that I could use to eat with, and something that I could use to put food into. So sometimes that's a mason jar, sometimes it's like a Tupperware. That's something that has like a lid to it that can be used either if unexpectedly, you know, I want a drink or food or something. It can be used as both a plate or a bowl, as well as to store some food in. And you can get out of most situations with those three things, if those are your sort of go-to items and staple items in your go bag, kind of.
Yeah, that's really smart. And I know you had mentioned also that, you know, some people might not feel comfortable with just going full zero waste immediately. And you said, you know, you can start in different sections, like just work on the produce section or and then maybe once that gets comfortable, then adding the bulk section and then eliminating certain foods that that you might buy that are only available in disposable packaging or.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, for me, I kind of started just with everything all at once. And, it, you know, you sort of phase things out. You begin with the items that are really single use, and that tends to be predominantly in the kitchen. And then you have those items that are disposable but longer lasting, things like, you know, deodorant and toothpaste and, you know, hair products. Those things that when I started zero waste the next day, you know, in a couple of weeks, even a couple of months down the road, I still had those items. But once I threw out the plastic version, I would replace it with a zero waste alternative. And so that worked for me, but I know for For some people, it may be easier to target it room by room, right? As sort of the easiest way to sort of explain that, where maybe you start with the kitchen. And maybe within the kitchen, you start with, like you said, you start with the produce section. You're always really good about bringing your own bags for produce, and you start with that. And then once you get comfortable with that, then maybe you start using the bulk section, and you bring your own jars to get your grains and, you know, nuts and pastas and baking stuff. A lot of that is all in there. And then once you get comfortable with that, you can start getting into, okay, what about those items that, you know, sometimes it does require a little bit of, I don't want to say sacrifice because that's such a intense word. But something like, you know, I historically, you know, over the last couple of years, I don't eat potato chips really because I haven't found out a way to get those zero waste, or crackers and cheese. And because of that, I just don't eat them. But here's the thing too, is one of my favorite quotes is, we don't need 1,000 people doing zero waste perfectly. We need 1,000,000 people doing zero waste imperfectly. So if that means that you're someone who really, really loves potato chips, but you're totally down for the rest of your kitchen to be zero waste, have potato chips. Mm-hmm. Like, there is nothing wrong with that. It is not an all or nothing. If if you're someone who is totally down to be zero waste in all of these facets, but there is one aspect of, you know, your toothpaste or your conditioner or, you know, shampoo or conditioner or something like that, that you can't figure out a way that works with your lifestyle, that also is plastic free or package free, it's not the end of the world.
Right. Yeah. Just do the best you can, you know?
Yeah. I have been known to buy Girl Scout cookies each year. Those come in plastic packaging.
Yeah.
I draw the line.
Yeah. There's some things that would be hard to give up for sure. And just a bit of a technical question, as far as the logistics of being zero waste. So, you know, you obviously, there are some things that you need to have, like produce bags and bulk jars and things like that. But what exactly do you cut out when you're living a zero waste lifestyle?
So it largely comes down to single-use plastics and items that cannot be infinitely recycled or composted and turned into a viable product without the negative externality of landfill, contributing to landfill overgrowth. So for me, you know, that's any plastic packaging, really. So if an item comes in plastic and I can't figure out a way, sometimes, you know, depending on the season with produce, if it's in season, it's more likely to be unpackaged. And so it ends up being a lot of like eating in season. When I use the bulk sections, I will bring my own jars. And you can bring any kind of jar. I have used pickle jars, sauce jars, like anything, as well as mason jars. And you get a tear weight. So that's, you weigh the jar and you figure out what its weight is empty. And then I usually write just in Sharpie on the bottom of the jar, whatever that weight is. And then you fill up your jar with whatever item you want from the bulk section. And then you take that jar to the cash register and you write down the item number, the PLU number on there. And then you just take the jar to the cash register as you're checking out, and they weigh the jar, they subtract that tear weight, and then you give them the item number and you move on with your life. And it's really fast and easy. So,
yeah. So it sounds like it's pretty easy to adjust to these different habits.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a shift, but once you get used to it, I think it only takes a couple weeks to get in the groove. And then it's just a different way of doing things.
Are there any things that you have a hard time finding a plastic-free version of? And how do you deal with those situations?
Yeah. So that's something that for me, the answer has mostly just been that I don't eat those things. And it really comes, it's mostly food. I haven't, there are a couple, for me, some outdoor gear that I have been unable to find, used or unpackaged versions of. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, there are things like climbing ropes and harnesses that you don't really want secondhand. And, so that sort of thing as far as activities, but then in the kitchen, that tends to be the largest waste in, you know, producing area of the house. And for that, meat and dairy products are really, really hard to find out of packaging. Mm-hmm. I have sort of the luxury, I'm already vegetarian, so meat wasn't hard for me to just say no to. But I definitely eat predominantly vegan because of this. And I actually really enjoy that. I appreciate it. I feel like it is, I know it is so healthy because you eat a lot more raw foods and a lot more whole foods and a lot less animal products, which have just made me feel very healthy and clean eating. So that's actually a benefit, but definitely things, so dairy, meat, and I've never found a solution to crackers or chips and out of season berries.
Yeah.
I haven't found an answer to, but those at least I get to gorge on in the summer.
Yeah, that's great.
At the farmer's market.
And yeah, so when we were talking before, you mentioned that you think that eating zero waste really helps you to eat more seasonally and sort of appreciate the different flavors of the season. And, you know, there's some stores where you can find certain produce items year round, but it's kind of best just to support the local farmers anyway. Could you talk a little bit more about that and some of the bigger picture thinking?
Absolutely. Yeah. So zero waste is definitely, I think, a huge reason why it was one of those, like, once you start it, you can't stop very easily. It's hard to unsee what you've learned and what you've experienced and the different way that you've navigated our consumer culture. And that's largely because you start to realize how intersectional all of the environmental issues are. And especially when you live zero waste, how much that goes in tandem with local eating, clean eating, small scale stores, you know, small scale farms, small and local everything, and sustainable and ethical, and minimalism, and all of those sort of things. The reduction of consumption as a whole is really the biggest tenet of zero waste. And then you move into the how to get around if you can't avoid that thing altogether, how can you do it in the most ethical, sustainable way? And that tends to just intersect so intensely with human health and planetary health, and both from a packaging side of things. You know, when you're buying local, small-scale organic, you're helping with a place-based you know, economic system, and with better solutions to a lot of the climate crises that we're experiencing, and healthier practices in those farming techniques, all of those sort of things.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's lots of benefits to going zero waste. It's not just reducing what's sent to the landfill. There's so many other benefits also.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of obstacles did you have getting started, and any advice to avoid some of those obstacles?
I think that the biggest thing is the learning curve and the habit shift. So when you're getting started, it's just really different. And I found, and this may not be true for everyone, I think each person sort of, obviously every person is totally different in the way that they learn and make their adjustments in their personal lives best. For me, it's easiest for me to just be really strict with myself right off the bat and just get those habits, like, really, you know, railed into my system. And then I can kind of coast with it. And so by being really strict with myself at the beginning, I was able to pretty quickly get comfortable with those new habits of what sort of things I need to take note of when I'm entering the room. When I walk into a restaurant, I'm immediately checking tables of other people that are there to see what kind of glasses do they have. Do they have reusable cutlery and reusable glasses for beverages, or are they disposable? Do they have straws? What kind of napkins do they use? All of the sort of stuff I'm immediately taking note of so that I know when I sit down at our table if I need to make any special requests of, you know, the waiter or whatever, mm-hmm. or, you know, what I need to do. So stuff like that, that you just have to start getting used to taking, you know, sort of scanning the room when you go, or every time you leave the house, instead of the item list being, you know, keys, wallet, phone. For me, it's keys, wallet, phone, you know, utensil, napkin, jar. Mm-hmm. And I've just added that to the list. And it's absolutely, when I walk out the door, do I have all those things? Yes, we're good. And it takes, you know, it's a matter of a half a second to register that you've got all those things. But it takes a little bit of a learning curve to figure that out, as well as getting comfortable with, I think one of the biggest things is getting comfortable with how to grocery shop. Mm-hmm. So the beauty of the other areas of the house, if you're, you know, getting clothes or physical, you know, items, when you get stuff secondhand at consignment stores or thrift stores, it's really easy to get those without packaging. And so that tends to just be inherent with that style of purchasing. And so when I'm buying, you know, and like I said, the first tenet is reduce your consumption entirely. Really try and not consume as much. So I don't mm-hmm. buy very many clothes. I don't have a lot of, you know, stuff that I own. But when I do, if I need to get something, I try to go to a thrift store first or a consignment store and get that secondhand. And so mm-hmm. that wasn't a big hard shift for me. I can see how that might be hard for some people. For me, that wasn't too hard. But the learning curve of the grocery store is definitely one of the hardest, because it's just so not what people are used to. And so the strategies that I would recommend to people is, first and foremost, shop the perimeter. If you mm-hmm. can avoid going into the interior of the grocery store, that's where all the packaged goods are. And all of the fresh stuff is on the exterior. So if you can avoid going into the interior aisles, that will save you a lot of packaging waste. And then mm-hmm. the other thing is, you know, I would try to start at stores that are going to be a little bit more familiar with this sort of style. It really helped for me to start shopping really predominantly at Huckleberry's and Main Market. And because the cashiers there get it, and they're really comfortable with doing the tear weight of jars and the PLU item number and all of that sort of stuff, they got it. And so it was really comfortable for me. So once I got more comfortable after, you know, a little while shopping there, then I was like, okay, maybe I can branch out a little bit more. I could try going to Yoke's and Fred Meyer's and actually reach the point, you know, in the last year or two, that I, because I recognize that Huckleberry's and Main Market do tend to be a little bit more expensive. So I'll mix it up a lot. I'll probably go to those stores only once a month or so, mm-hmm. just for those sort of obscure items, because their bulk sections are a lot larger and they have a lot more oils and, you know, bath and body products that are in bulk as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas most of my grocery shopping, I'll do, a Fred Meyer or Yoke's or something like that, and I can still use their bulk sections. They don't do a tear weight with their jars, so I don't bring jars to those places. I'll just bring a really lightweight baggie mm-hmm. That's some sort of a reusable fabric, cotton or just some bag that you find around your house. Even a reusable, you know, Ziploc might work. And I'll use their bulk section there and then transfer stuff to jars when I get home. Mm-hmm. And so it's stuff like that. You kind of want to get comfortable with the process before you start figuring out how to work it at different stores. Mm-hmm. And Winco is another store that it's. I like going to Winco for getting like some staple foods, staple items. I'll get snacky things and flour and they've got a fantastic bulk section, but they do not allow you to use a tear weight. And so I don't bring any jars there. I have to bring my own bags. And then transfer stuff to jars when I get home.
Right. Are there still any, do you think that zero waste living has gotten easier over the past couple years? Are there still situations where, you know, that you encounter where you know, the person is just blindsided by you requesting, you know, to use your own containers or something like that.
I think that the world has grown more familiar with this in general, the concept of trying to reduce single-use plastics. However, the intensity of zero waste still shocks people regularly.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times I'll get, you know, sort of a, if I ask for no straw, you know, I'll get a comment from a waiter of, oh, look at you go, being so sustainable. And so, it's, you know, they're aware of it. But then I also have absolutely my fair share of awkward stories that I can go on and on with, of people just being baffled by how I'm trying to navigate a situation.
Yeah.
And people being, I've tried everything from trying to just use the tactic of just saying, oh, I just don't have a trash can.
Mm-hmm.
At which the person that I tried to do that with was so genuinely concerned for me and my well-being. And I was like, oh my heavens. So, you know, and then I'll have those just, yeah, so many awkward situations. So it's really a mixed bag. I think people are a lot more aware just in general of reducing plastic. And so there's a lot more awareness around that, but zero waste is still pretty extreme, I think, for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it is fun to see. I think the movement is growing in popularity and becoming a little bit more of a household common term that people have already heard of before, which is cool.
Do you think that with more and more people going zero waste, do you think that it's setting up society to be more well-equipped for handling these types of situations?
I hope so. I hope so. You know, it's, being in the zero waste circle, I tried, especially when I started, and I will say this is a tip for people who want to start, is surrounding yourself by people who are zero waste. So when I started, I made an Instagram account, and I exclusively followed other zero wasters. I would not follow any like friends or anything. The purpose of that account was purely zero waste. And I also started, joined a bunch of zero waste groups on Facebook and that sort of thing. So it was just very regularly, on my feed, my social media feed, so that it just was normalized in my life. And that was just sort of constantly there and a reminder. So I was constantly seeing tips and getting ideas from other people and just getting like, just having that be part of my everyday conversation. Especially if my friends weren't doing it, helped tremendously, to just keep that both a thing on my, keep it as something on my mind and normalize it as part of my experience. I think it helped, helped that. And, but as far as the world being more equipped, I mean, the number of zero wasters is growing, and I do know that, and that's great. And, you know, by being in those circles, you get the news all the time for, oh, there's a store that just opened in this town that's 100% zero waste or package free, and, oh, I know of this place here that does this. So that's great. And I think it's a slow burn, mm-hmm. but we're getting there.
Yeah. So let's talk about your Instagram account for a second. So it's Zero Waste Zag. And what are some, I know I looked at it a bit and I found some really helpful tips on there. Could you talk a little bit about the experience of having that and some of the directions that having that account has taken you?
Yeah. So I originally started that account because of that class. One of the requirements was to have a way to track your progress and your daily practice. And so I was like, I'll just start an Instagram account. Why not? And so the purpose of the Instagram account for me was to both share with people how to be zero waste. But at the same time, I was very intentionally not doing it as like a full-on blog. Like I know there are a lot of zero waste blogs out there. I mean, if you just go and Google zero waste, fill in the blank. There are so many blogs out there, people who actually make a living sharing their knowledge about how to live a lifestyle without producing any plastic. And I wanted my account to be a little bit more of, this is not my lifestyle. I don't have to dedicate my life to being zero waste to do it. I want to show you that I can just be a normal college student living my life who also doesn't produce trash. Mm-hmm. And so that was sort of the point of that. And to just share with people, like every time I would have something that was just different, a different way of doing it because it was zero waste. I just take a little photo of it. I had, you know, have times where on my camera roll on my phone, I've got like, you know, quite a few photos lined up of things I'm going to post on Instagram. And I tried, you know, I've gone through phases with it. So you may notice if you go through like actually like what I've posted as a comment or like the caption on my photo, I've gone through phases of trying to be more educational versus just putting it out there. You know, it wavers, but the point of it is really just trying to raise awareness on our campus because it was Zero Waste Zag. We're the Gonzaga Zags, we call ourselves. So that was where that name came from. And just raising awareness around campus and getting the word out there to people who probably don't already follow those Zero Waste accounts and trying to reach a different audience. So, and I will say actually, so the account Zero Waste Zag will continue, but I'm passing it down. Mm-hmm. There's a girl who is a rising junior at Gonzaga, and she has been Zero Waste now for 2 years. And I asked her just recently, she's going to take over the Zero Waste Zag account because I felt like it would be weird if it left Gonzaga. And I was so excited that she is there and was partly inspired by my story on campus. Yeah. She went Zero Waste as well. And so, that account will be continued as a Gonzaga student and will stay on campus. And hopefully by the time she graduates, there'll be more Zero Waste Zags to give that to.
Yeah, definitely. It's a really great Instagram account. And one thing that I think helps that to encourage people to go zero waste is just sort of raising people's consciousness level. And could you talk a little bit more about that and how what we were talking about the how the burden isn't entirely on the consumer and some other factors?
Yeah, a huge part of this lifestyle is independent decisions as a consumer. And whereas I think, you know, that's wonderful and that's great, and we should absolutely all be living our lives trying to do as much good as we can and in line with our values and our ethics. I think that this lifestyle also makes it clear how hard that is to do in the system that we have set up. And because of that, I think it just speaks to the amount of change that needs to happen on a systemic structural level. And a lot of the focus can be on end of life and on the consumer, whereas a lot of the issues arise from the way that these products are manufactured and packaged in the first place and that are just not conducive to a zero waste lifestyle. And in order to have a circular economy where we do acknowledge and live a little bit more within our means and think of products less on a linear scale and more of a circular one, it requires a lot more than just consumer habits at end of life. We need to be looking at more of a precautionary approach and a burden putting on all of the systems rather than just on that one and isolating it on the end.
Yeah, I know that there's in a lot of different places they're starting to look at extended producer responsibility, where the manufacturers of the products are the burden of taking care of those materials is shifted to the manufacturer. And I know that is really encouraging people to look at the whole life cycle of the packaging.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that's a huge issue is that, you know, once the manufacturers send it out into the world, they're not responsible for it. They have no responsibility over the Amazon packaging and the Coca-Cola bottles and all of those things that litter the you know, the beaches and get into the oceans and not even the litter of, you know, there's the physical issue that we can see, but then there's just the issue of overfull landfills, of the air pollution that comes from landfills, of, you know, the water pollution and the leaching into our underground water systems that can happen from landfills. All of these are extremely problematic, and there's no one really who to report to or to address the issue, because it's on so many different levels and it's not really, I don't want to say point fingers because it's really sort of aggressive, but but there's no one really to be held, nothing to help be held accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, we need to just look at the greater system as a whole instead of just, you know, being caught up in the same mentality where, you know, we get all this, we go shopping, we generate waste from the different packaging, and then we put it at the curbside and then we just kind of forget about it. It's good to raise people's awareness of the whole life cycle of the packaging. And I know we were talking earlier about how you visited the waste to energy facility here. And could you talk a little bit more about that and how that was sort of an eye-opening experience?
Yeah, I would encourage anyone to do that. So I actually have had the pleasure of going twice for classes in undergrad and getting tours of the facility. It is a powerful experience when you walk into the waste to energy facility here in Spokane and you see this, you know, what is it, 40 feet deep, that pit. Mm-hmm. That I don't know if you guys have ever reached the bottom of, and mm-hmm. it is just piled of trash. And it mounds up over top. And then there's this big claw that comes in and grabs all of the trash. And it smells bad. It looks horrible. And it is just this, well, on the one hand, for me going in there as zero waste, it was such a relief. Like, it is both nauseating and a relief to walk in there and just be able to say, none of that is mine.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. But
right.
At the same time, it is just in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit disheartening at the same time, where I could say none of that is mine, but also I am one person and that is a lot of trash.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just have to remind myself that, you know, me being one person, there's a butterfly effect here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to keep doing what I'm doing.
I think it's just a good reminder that there's no real easy way to deal with waste, and just there's so much infrastructure and staff that are required to manage it, and just anything that we can do to try to reduce that is great.
Yeah.
I wanted to just pick your brain about just some particulars. Wondering how you handle certain items and how to make it work for zero waste. Just a few things mm-hmm. that come to mind, things like toothpaste and deodorant and other personal care items. What do you do for that?
So that one, I've said before, is how you do zero waste varies a lot on person to person. For me, just generally in the bathroom product scene, that was a really easy transition for me because I already don't wear makeup and I don't use a lot of products. And so that was a pretty easy transition for me. I do know of some other people that have found some great either zero waste brands that they've used or homemade products for things like makeup and those sort of things. I make my own deodorant and my own toothpaste. I've been doing that for 4 years now, and I get bulk shampoo from Huckleberry's as well as bulk lotion, and stuff like, I have a safety razor that I use, so it's a reusable metal razor, and there's this brand that I got it from that I can send them back the razors to be the blades to be recycled.
Oh, great.
The soap that I get, I just make sure I get it without packaging, just a raw bar of soap. And that's what I use for face wash as well as body wash. And there's not much more in my cabinet. Floss, I have, I got it from Package Free Shop, which is based out of New York, run by Lauren Singer, who's the woman who I first heard of Zero Waste from. But that floss is like in a little glass container that I can reuse, and the actual spool of floss is 100% silk, so I can compost it.
Oh, great.
So stuff like that. I also, though, as far as like toothpaste and deodorant and lotion, I do know people that make their own lotion. I have done that before. I've had mixed results. I sort of go back and forth. I know of people who get alum stones, which is like an all-natural deodorant. It's unpackaged, or people that get it in compostable packaging. Same goes for toothpaste. I make my own toothpaste, but I do know that sometimes you can get tooth powder or toothpaste in like glass containers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can reuse those. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, all kinds of options. And mm-hmm. another thing I was wondering about with various household products, like cleaning products, you know, this furniture, things you get for your house. Mm-hmm. I noticed that you had some great things on your Instagram account about repurposing containers and things like that. Could you talk a little bit about some mm-hmm. things that you do for household items?
Yeah. So the first thing that sort of came to my mind as you were talking about that was the simplifying and minimizing mm-hmm. that a lot of this lifestyle is trying to be more minimalistic. And that shows itself in so many ways. In that furniture and like larger items, I buy pretty exclusively secondhand. Cleaning products, so that's another thing that we talk about, like intersections with human and planetary health, and how zero waste ends up influencing a lot of things that are not necessarily just actual packaging. But like, I don't have any harsh chemicals really that we use for cleaning in our house. A lot of times it's soap and water, or just water. And if I need to sanitize something, I've got sort of an all natural, all purpose cleaner that I'll use mm-hmm. that comes in a glass bottle. And that's what I use for cleaning our house. There isn't anything else really that goes on here. So that is a great example of both, sustainably sourced materials that are better for the planet, both in manufacturing and when it goes down the drain. It's got to go somewhere, and I don't want to be putting really harsh chemicals into runoff.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, just for me, I feel better about being in this space knowing that there aren't a lot of like harsh chemicals being used on a lot of the different spaces. So that sort of thing, as well as with reusing packaging. That's a super common thing. I am, kid you not, I'm sitting here right now drinking water out of an old pickle jar. So we don't really have a lot of glasses that we've been using recently in this house. We've been repurposing a lot of containers. I've repurposed candle jars, pasta jars, salsa jars. Obviously, there's a pickle jar here. Those are great because they all come in different sizes. So almost all of my mason jars have come from a thrift store. So mm-hmm. I'll go get those. You know, you can get those for a couple cents a piece at thrift stores. And then, but then it's also great to have all of these different size jars from items that I have purchased at a grocery store. And then I've used up, and then I just keep the jar. And that glass jar is awesome to be reused because then I have a plethora of sizes in our cabinets, and then they can be used for anything, and it's great.
Yeah, that's great. So sometimes, you know, I know sometimes you're put into situations where you don't have that much control, like when you're traveling or visiting people. Do you have any advice for how to navigate those types of situations?
Yeah, I think you would get a different response from each person you talk to who's zero waste on this front. The situations that are the hardest to control, I would say, are, and you nailed two of them, when you are a guest in someone else's space, if you're traveling, or if you are with like a group of people in some sort of a social setting. I've always said that the hardest part of being zero waste is having a social life. Because especially at my age, being in college, being in your 20s, there's a lot of spontaneity in social settings. And there's a lot of times that people want to go spontaneously go get this thing or go do this thing that if you're not prepared for, if I wasn't prepared for, I'd be like, well, shoot, I can't. Like, I'm going to produce waste. Either I don't do this thing and then I'm a party pooper, or I ask the other people to not do this thing, in which case I'm really the party pooper, or I suck it up and I produce trash. And it really, honestly, is totally case dependent on what that decision ends up being. Same goes for, so traveling, there are ways to be really prepared. And so that one I've sort of been able to figure out. It's a lot of, you know, making sure you bring a lot of snacks and making sure you bring your own empty container of some kind for water when you're traveling, and just being really careful about like not going and getting a bunch of junk food snacks when you're on the plane, but like bringing your own food and that sort of thing. So that's a little bit easier to do and to manage. Same with if you're going on a road trip, it's definitely just, you got to be a little bit more prepared, willing to sort of bring your own food, pack your own food, which frankly makes it a lot cheaper too. So that's usually nice on your wallet. And then another one that's really hard is yeah, being a guest in someone else's home or with the groups. When I'm at, you know, Christmas time or Easter, Thanksgiving, times when I'm usually surrounded by a lot of family members, oftentimes I'm not even at my own house. And even when I am at my own house, my parents are not zero waste. So I do what I can. My advice would be, you know, if you're going to go for like a grocery shop for food, if you want to offer to, essentially my sort of rule of thumb is if I am contributing to this, it will be zero waste and vegetarian if not vegan for me. And because of that, any dishes that I bring, like meals, you know, that I'll be serving, or if I offer to go do the grocery shopping, that's a way for me to make sure that it's done on my terms. However, if I am not going to be the one to go grocery shop, or if someone else is prepared some food for me, I'm not going to necessarily, you know, give them grief for not doing it zero waste. So it's a lot of what I found is a lot of leading by example. And I have found that people are very receptive to me living my life and being super open. And I've talked a lot to other people who are zero waste who have had similar success stories. When you're not actively trying to convert people to zero waste, but you are absolutely open to the conversation, you want to talk about it, and you are just doing it, people tend to be very receptive of that. And actually, I have had some really great success stories come out of that.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Like, don't be too preachy. Like, just, you know, if people have questions, they can ask you, but
yeah.
Yeah. And then, so yeah, just another reminder too, what you told about, what you mentioned about, it's better to have more people doing it imperfectly. And, you know, if there's situations where you can't follow it perfectly for a while, that's okay. Just get back to it whenever you can, you know?
Yeah. It's not a pass fail. And it's not one of those things that if you know, if you had a bad month and you produced a lot of packaging, that doesn't mean that you should throw your arms up and be done. Go back, try again next month. Like, there is no reason that this is just an end all be all sort of lifestyle.
Totally. Their own. And to close out, any resources that you recommend for people?
Absolutely. So, locally in Spokane, I would highly recommend giving it a shot of zero waste shopping at Huckleberry's or Main Markets. Those are great sources to go try it out. And then for resources, some of my favorites are, so Lauren Singer runs the Package Free Shop, as well as an Instagram and blog account called Trash is for Tossers. And she's great. I love her approach to the zero waste lifestyle because she is a, you know, young woman in her 20s doing awesome work in the environmental field, living in New York City, very much a young, hip, chic millennial. And she doesn't have necessarily that very crunchy, you know, super tree hugger hippie vibe, which I think resonates with a lot of people. And I think that's really great, like that she can sort of lend a hand and invite people who that doesn't jive with. So that's a really great resource. The other great resource, if you are totally on the other end of the spectrum and you love the mismatched crazy jars and, you know, quirkiness of the environmental movement and being a little bit, you know, more crunchy and hippie, Going Zero Waste by Catherine is one of my favorite resources. I think she is just so positive and welcoming and enthusiastic and quirky and loves everything about this lifestyle. And so she is a great resource as well. Going Zero Waste, she also published a book called 101 Ways to Go Zero Waste, and that's an awesome resource as well. So those are my two probably big recommendations.
Yeah, and then you also were recommending if there's a specific product that you're wondering about, just Google zero waste toothbrush or whatever. And there's lots of people that are very active about blogging and documenting their life.
So. Absolutely. Totally. I would also recommend Zero Waste Spokane has a Facebook group. And so there is actually a group of people in Spokane on Facebook that, and it's everything from they have a whole resource on all of the different stores that you can go to get different zero waste items.
Oh, great.
But it's also just a great resource for, I've used it to just post things. If you've got a question or if you've got, you know, something you're wondering about or would like advice on, people post on there all the time to just have that conversation with like-minded individuals who are all sort of on the same page there. So.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for those resources.
Yeah.
We've really enjoyed having you talk with us here today, and you've inspired so many people, and we really appreciate all the efforts you've made. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to talk about it, because that's how, you know, that's how we spread this, is sharing our stories. And so I want to share these resources and information as far as possible. So thanks for asking me to come and chat.
Great. So great. We hope to talk to you again soon. And we're going to be posting this on our City of Spokane website, and then shoot us a message or a comment. And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Talking Trash, a waste reduction podcast put on by the City of Spokane Solid Waste Department. For more information, go to our website at my.spokanecity.org.